This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06 in the evening, and it is, of course, World SME Day today. And all week long, we've been dedicating our 7 o'clock slot to explore all things related to SMEs. Yesterday, we spoke about the business environment and what it would take to help SMEs thrive with Lawrence Todd, Director of Research and Development at IDEAS. Today, we'd like to take a look at the SME workforce, and we're going to hone in specifically on foreign labour. We know that we have an abundance of foreign labour here in Malaysia, and that most of them are employed within the SME sector. So we're joined now by Dato' Sri M. Ramaselvam, committee member of the Independent Committee on Foreign Workers. Dato' Sri, thank you for joining us today. Could you give us a snapshot of the size of the foreign labour workforce in SMEs? Which sectors are employing the bulk of our foreign labour?
You see, foreign labour comprises about almost 20 to 30% of our workforce. And SMEs are the bulk of our industry. So therefore, I think overall, they would be dependent on that number. But again, that would depend on which sector they are from. The sectors that employ the bulk of foreign workers in Malaysia are actually the agriculture sector, the plantation sector, the construction sector, the services sector, and the manufacturing sector, which incidentally are the sectors that are permitted to employ foreign workers. There are, of course, certain sub-sectors, such as restaurant, wherein they allow cooks, the cleaning and sanitation sub-sector, as well as one other sub-sector known as the resort island sub-sector. And these are the sectors where they would be employed, really.
What's driving these huge numbers of foreign workers to SME industries?
Statistically, we have right now, I'll give you the ballpark figures. Number of foreign workers in our country right now are about 2 million. Of course, there are a lot of undocumented foreign workers as well. The undocumented numbers, people say, range from 2 million up to a high of 4 million plus. The bulk of them, again, come from Indonesia, which is the number one, I think. The second highest number would be from Nepal, followed by Bangladesh, Myanmar, and then those from the Mekong region, Cambodia, Thailand, Vietnam, and so on, and workers from India as well. Our country is very much dependent on low-wage, low-skill migrant workers. And why these particular countries is Indonesia, I think, number one is proximity. Bangladesh, of course, is a labor surplus nation. Myanmar, Cambodia, Thailand, Vietnam, and so on is the economic factors that drive them to come here. Nepal, again, I think, is the economic factors that drive them to come here. And if you notice, our workers or workforce largely is from within the ASEAN region and the South Asian subcontinent. Proximity, cultural preferences, and so on and so forth drive the numbers, really.
Could you talk us through the cost of hiring foreign workers versus local workers?
Well, if you employ a foreign worker, you, of course, are subject to paying levy, which is basically a tax on employers to employ foreign workers. If you employ a local worker, you need not pay the levy. The other thing that you would have to pay if you employ foreign workers is the recruitment cost. And that can be quite substantial as well, over and above the levy. The levy is an annual payment that one pays, an employer pays, for keeping that foreign worker. The recruitment cost is a one-time cost. It can range anywhere from 3,000 to 8,000 ringgit to bring in a foreign new worker. So that is one aspect where there is cost. Of course, insofar as foreign workers are concerned, the employer also needs to provide accommodation as well. Yeah. So those are the extra costs that the employer has to bear. But there is one saving, though. The employer does not pay the EPF contribution in our present scheme of things for foreign worker. As far as wages is concerned, in our law, the minimum wage order applies. So there can be no difference between a foreign worker and a local worker as far as the minimum wage is concerned. So the local workers get the minimum wage if you are at that level of that low-skilled workers. And the foreign workers also get that same wage. And the overtime computations and so on and so forth is the same. So if you talk about based on minimum wage, there is no difference. But there could be, of course, the situation where locals may be paid higher than the minimum wage, which would make a local's wage higher. As I said, if you employ a local, you don't have that extra cost of levy. You don't have extra cost of, accommodation, the recruitment cost, and so on and so forth.
Policy-wise, are those levies intended as a deterrent to employers? And if so, why haven't they really worked?
You are spot on. It's right. The purpose of the levy is to be a disincentive for locals to employ foreign workers, to give preference to local workers. It is basically supposed to be a tax on employing foreign workers. However, that does not seem to be a disincentive because there are certain sectors, I think, employers have no choice. For instance, the plantation sector, the agriculture sector, the construction sector, and many of those manufacturing sectors, many of those sectors in the manufacturing industry, where you are unable to actually get local workers to go and work in those sectors. And those sectors are predominantly dominated by foreign workers.
How much would a transition from a foreign labor-heavy workforce to a local workforce change the landscape of the SME sector?
Well, the government's position is this. They do not want to have more than 15% foreign workers. That is the government's position. They hope to reduce it gradually. But in the last two decades or so, and even now as we speak, the number of foreign workers has basically been going up or remaining consistent. They are officially, of course, as I said, there are 2 million documented workers. So if you base on official statistics, we are slightly less than 15%. However, if you take in the undocumented workers, the numbers are much, much, much more. So I agree that government has to have a more holistic policy on reducing the number of foreign workers. So you have to transition to automation, to go on to higher value-added manufacturing, go on to sectors that you would have less workers to depend on. But to a large extent, our national economy, as it stands now, is largely labor-driven. So therefore, the number of migrant workers are here to stay, at least in the medium term, you know?
Right. And as you mentioned, in the long term, ministries like MITI want more development of automation to reduce the industry's reliance on foreign labor. Do you see automation as the way to make that happen?
From what I can see, not enough has been done, right? Because to a large extent, as I said earlier, we are to a large extent very much dependent on cheap labor, low-skilled workers who are paid low wages. We need to up our game. We definitely need to go towards automation, to the economy 4.0 that the government talks about, that industry talks about. This comes with another matter. We also need to provide incentives for automation. This is very important. Government itself has to proactively provide incentives, have dedicated funds that would make it worthwhile for industries to automate. In fact, one of the things that has been suggested is part of that levy payment which they collect, the government collects, which runs into several billion ringgit a year, should actually be allocated to provide for a fund to allow or to encourage industries to automate. And that is something that we need to do quickly and urgently. Of course, there are certain industries, like plantations, may be more challenging to automate. But there are industries like the construction sector with new building technologies and so on and so forth. We should find it easier, similarly with manufacturing, similarly with other services and so on and so forth.
Dato' Sri, thanks for your thoughts. That was Dato' Sri M. Ramachandran, committee member of the Independent Committee on Foreign Workers, speaking to us about the part that the foreign labour workforce, and the parts that the foreign labour workforce in SMEs play. Tomorrow, we'll be closing off our 101s on SMEs by speaking to a couple of entrepreneurs about their experiences at failing in their respective businesses and what the takeaways were there, so make sure you stay tuned for that. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.